Jesus is intercessor. Before he is intercessor, he is first Savior. The first work Jesus did on earth when he died upon the cross and was raised in glory from the dead after 3 days tells us that he is indeed the risen Savior. And the second work that Jesus carries on in heaven after his ascension to heaven at the right hand of the Father is that he is intercessor. We cannot see what Christ is doing now at the right hand of the Father on the majesty on high. Hebrews 1 verse 3 gave us the story continuing of what Christ has done. He says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The right hand is the hand of authority. Jesus is able, our text tells us, to save us to the uttermost. How does Jesus carry out this work of intercession? How can we comprehend and grasp what is the meaning of Christ's intercession? Our text tells us of the nature of that intercession, that it is a continual intercession which Jesus ever lives to make on behalf of his believing people. That's the difference. When Christ created the world, we saw how we were created and how man fell and how he had to come in order to remake that image in us, and how he, by his power, sustained the universe and sustained all life form, and how he would recreate the world again at the end, and how he is Savior, how he came to seek the lost. And as you think about Christ's role as intercessor, we want to think of ancient Israel, how the Levitical priest had to be succeeded one after another, because they come and they age, one generation comes, another goes, for time and tide awaits no man. But Jesus Christ needs no successor, because he will not die. The fact that Jesus will not die, that he will not need a replacement of another priest, means that he can see his work of delivering his people through to the end. And so, as you think about what Christ is doing on earth, you also want to picture your own life. How life is so tough, life is so difficult. So many times we reach impasse and we ask ourselves, are we going to pass through this time? Are we going to pass through this yet another difficult moment, difficult impasse? Well, we want to meditate on this verse from Hebrews 7:25, that he can deliver us completely, in the sense that he is able to see us through the realization of our full salvation. We can rest assured. And so the first thought that we want to bring before us tonight, and there is only one thought for tonight, is his sufficient grace. His grace is sufficient for us. And we realize that believers' life is filled with trials and temptations. And we felt as if this is it. This is the end. We will not go through and solve this problem that is before us. But we must realize, as we study this text, that we have a sufficient high priest who is able to help us. And we can always go to him in prayer to help us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Teaches us this. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession, our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, what you are going through. Jesus knows. And he's pleading and praying for you that his grace may come upon you, that you will yet go through this impasse. And so as you think about it, it must cause us to have a lot of assurance in our heart, isn't it? That we will not, or we will surely arrive safely at the end of the journey. Jesus was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That makes him a qualified high priest. And let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is the sufficiency of the believer. Have you been experienced many difficulties in your Christian life, trials, temptations, no end? Why is it like that? Have you ever asked yourself? The Apostle Paul, he wrote, he says that being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun the good work in you will perform it, will complete it, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our life is filled with trials and temptations that threatens to trip us, to fall. And we realize that we are in this earthen vessel. We are weak. And many times we fall. And what do you do when you fall? Well, you can come to God. Come to him in prayer, in confession of your sins, and receive forgiveness, and receive cleansing from him. Our trials and temptations, this verse in Hebrews 7:25 tells us, need not separate us from our eternal inheritance. Because Jesus Christ can continue to support us by providing his grace and his mercy all the way until we receive our ultimate reward. That's a very assuring thought, isn't it? As we think of who Jesus is, how he is that high priest interceding before the Father on our behalf. He does not do that for all the rest of his creation, but only for the elect, only for his servants, only for his children. He does this special task. And so, as you think about Christ as the intercessor, as the high priest, it must bring a lot of comfort into our hearts that we are not alone in this life's journey. And sometimes you feel as if you are alone. You are not. You know, the temptations in life test our love for our Lord. We are always tempted from loving our Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, and all our strength. But did not God want us to do so? Because He has loved us with that kind of perfect love. And He has endowed us with everything that we can ever imagine we want, we need. Our Lord Jesus Christ is doing for His people the work which the Jewish high priest of old did on behalf of the Israelites. He's acting as their representative, the mediator of all things between His people and God. He is ever presenting His own sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice on our behalf to the Father, so that you may have fallen at that time. But He has prayed for you. Did not He pray for Peter when Peter fell? The Lord says that Satan will sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, so that when you are converted, you may strengthen your brethren. And so our Lord in the heavenlies is ever obtaining for us daily supplies of fresh mercy and fresh grace for us poor, needy people, needy children of His, so that He may daily give to us the grace that is needed to go through this earthly life. In Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim was at the fireplace and he saw a man pouring water to extinguish the fire at the fireplace. But he looked and he looked again and he saw, why is it that the fire does not extinguish? Then the interpreter brought him to the back of the fireplace. And there he saw a man. And the interpreter said to him that it is Jesus Christ. He's pouring oil in order to keep the fire burning. And he's at the back of the fireplace. You can't see him clearly in your trials, in your temptations, in your troubles, but He is there supplying the oil of grace so that the fire of life within your heart will not extinguish and die out and die. And so that is a very wonderful work that our Lord is doing at the right hand of the Father. That praying is the supplying of God's necessary favor toward us. Benefits that come your way because of what Christ is doing. Peter, he wrote in 1 Peter concerning the difficulties of life, how life is filled with temptations, trials, that is so difficult. Why is it that all these are coming to us? That we may finally be perfected, that our love for our Lord may finally be refined, the faith that we have in God may be that pure, our love for Him may be that strong. That's why He sends us these trials and these temptations. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, wherein Peter writes to the Christians scattered all over Asia Minor as a result of persecution. Life was hard he says to them, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in manifold, in heaviness through manifold temptations." Many challenges before them that seek to tear them from loving their God. Temptations that come their way, seductions that would cause them to deny their God. And Peter says that the faith, verse 7, of the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How is that possible? Because we have a high priest in heaven that is interceding, making sure that we will make it to the finish line. Isn't it wonderful? And so, how would we approach the temptations and trials that will come your way in life? Verse 8, Peter tells us, "Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom ye now see him not, yet believing." What do we believe? We believe that he is there in the heavenlies, praying for us, interceding for us, providing his grace, providing his power to ensure that we will make it. We will cross the finish line. What great assurance, isn't it, for the believer? And that's why Peter writes in this way. He says that whom ye have not seen, we have not seen Jesus Christ. We have seen him through the eyes of Scripture in faith. And that is precious. That's the reason why we want to spend time to know our Savior. Right? Peter said that Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, but you have loved, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What does it mean? It means that you will always find help, grace and mercy in time of need. You can call out to him. He is there holding you. He is there strengthening you. He himself is doing that work. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. And so even though we are going through difficult times, even though we are going through trials, we know that it is to perfect our faith. It is to cause us, teach us to learn how to love him more. Remember, Peter denied our Lord 3 times. Right? The Lord said the cock will crow. Right? And indeed, the cock crew, and he denied the Lord 3 times. And he was so broken hearted, or broken, because he denied his Lord. His love for his Lord was tested. And he failed. Do you experience that? We all experience that. But what the Lord is saying to us here is that be not discouraged. Be comforted. That our Lord himself is praying for us. The text that was that recorded this for us is Luke 22:33. If you turn there, Luke 22:32. and 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. His grace is sufficient, and he is ever interceding for you at the right hand of the Father, that your faith fail not. So that once you are converted, you realize how weak you are. You repent and say, Lord, I want to love you more. So that when the next time the temptation comes, you can see it coming. And you would say, no. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's how the Lord would have us to have our faith perfected. That's why we receive trials and temptations in our lives. But our Lord says that he is praying on our behalf, and he is that ever living, ever interceding high priest. Not dead, but alive. And so we must have this truth ingrained in our hearts, so that when you are faced with the deepest trial in your life, the strongest temptation that Satan can hold at you, you can stand it with strength and assurance that you are not alone, that the Lord will see you through, that his love for you is not diminished in any way. So that's how Peter puts it. That you can go through temptations, manifold temptations, and severe trials with joy unspeakable. Where does that joy come from? It comes from the assurance that God will deliver you. How? I don't know. But that is the truth that the Lord wants to bring to us. And the Apostle Paul, he sees it from a different angle. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Paul puts it this way concerning the intercessory role of Christ on our behalf. He says this: who is he that condemneth? And before that, in Romans 8 verse 1, he says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. He has saved us to the uttermost. That's our text in Hebrews 7:25. And here in Romans 8 verse 34, he tells us, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You will not fail. His grace will see you through. And then Paul went on to describe his own life, how he experienced the all-sufficient grace of God, the unfailing love of God. That's how Paul sees it. The persevering love of God that does not wane through any circumstances. He says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution? So he names them one by one to tell us that he has gone through it, and his experience is that God's grace is sufficient. God's love does not fail. Nor nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, it's as if we are tempted and tried so much in this world, Satan hurling its darts upon us non-stop, and yet he says this, we are as sheep for the slaughter. But he says, nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So he tells us that there is a victory for you in your trial. Whether it's in a sickness, whether it's in a difficulty that you are facing right now, and it may be prolonged, the Lord says, you will have the victory. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul gives his personal testimony. He says now, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he began by telling us what Jesus had done, his first work on the cross, and how he is continuing that second work, interceding for us before the Father, and how that work is effectual, how that work will give you final victory. And so God wants us to be very, very clear in our hearts how he is able to save us to the uttermost. And the clause over there is to them that come unto God by Jesus Christ. So it is through Jesus Christ and him alone that we receive this privilege. And we want to focus also on the word he is able. Able means that he has the means. He has that strength. He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his power, in his wisdom. He has that ability. And so, as we think of Jesus as intercessor, and we think of the difficulties that we are encountering in life's journey, you realize that all this is to perfect our faith. Paul says that him whom God called, he would also justify. Whom he justified, he would also glorify. How would he glorify? Well, he's doing that continual work of intercession for us, so that we won't fail. We are all afraid of failing, right? We are all afraid that, you know, we can't make it. We can't even crawl past the finish line. But the Lord tells us that he is able. You will make it at the end. So, does it not give you a lot of assurance in your heart of who God is? We have studied how Jesus Christ is the Creator, how He was with the Father right at the beginning of no beginnings, how He was there enjoying that perfect relationship, that perfect delight, rejoicing before the Father, and how it is the will of God that He would share this delight and joy with humankind, mankind, whom He would create. And not only did He create, but He also sustained. How did He sustain us, or how does He sustain? Well, you see that He sustained by His powerful word. Right? We saw how His word has power, how His word overcomes the wiles of the devil, how His word is able to provide for us our livelihood, and how His word gives to us everlasting life. And that is how He is sustaining us, that powerful word that He brings to us. And we saw how we are that branch and He is the vine. How our Lord indeed is providing the nourishment needed for us in our sojourn, and how we need to be dependent on Him, just like the husbandman is dependent, is the provider for the vine. The branch provides the nourishment for the branches. And so, in that dependence, we will find our sufficiency. And then we saw how Jesus Christ is Savior, how He came to rescue the lost. We saw the joy of reconciliation, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And the trigger point for joy is repentance, when we truly surrender our lives to God, realize that we are undone, we need help, we cannot order our own lives. And then we see today, not only is Jesus Creator, Sustainer and Savior, but He is intercessor. How by His work at the right hand of the Father, that grace is sufficient to see us through the finish line. I hope this would comfort your heart if you are going through any prolonged trial, that it will give you that strength to know that His grace will not fail you. You will see the light at the end of the tunnel. You will surely see it, and you would have that hope that is very brightly lit in your heart, because you know the end from the beginning. You know what God has done for you in your life, and how that persevering grace will never fail. So may we rejoice with joy unspeakable whenever a trial, whenever a temptation comes our way, that we may indeed choose to love God more and choose to believe Him more. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to praise and thank thee for giving to us thy word. O Lord, indeed, we want to acknowledge, though we do not see with our physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes, we are able to see thy work of intercession on our behalf. How this is a continual work. Lord, we praise and thank thee that we are not alone, struggling, but thou art with us. And Lord, we thank thee for the throne of grace that is ever available for the seeking saint through Jesus Christ. So Lord, may thou help us to bring before thee all our needs, whether in temptation, whether in trials, believing, expecting thy deliverance. O God, we are so thankful to thee for who thou art and what thou art doing for us at the right hand of the Father. So Lord, may thou grant to us that full assurance of faith to run this race, looking for the joy that is set before us, as Jesus did. Help us, Lord. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.